Good evening, Alan. How are you? Shalom.
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm tired, but Baruch Hashem, I'm well. We got a bit of rain today, about 3 inches in 30 minutes, which is lovely.
That's a little too much for me.
Yes, it is. It is. I think we were able to determine if the work that has been done in front regarding drainage has actually helped or is if it still needs to be tweaked. So I'm very grateful that it rained that much.
Well, that's a different reason that I can mm-hmm. understand about that. Make sure it's done, right?
Yeah. I think we're the only ones today.
Not anymore.
No, no, no. Oh, no.
Has joined.
Oh.
Good afternoon, Brandy.
Good afternoon.
Lizette is Brandy. Also here, so we can get started.
Good afternoon, Lizette.
Hi, Ms. Brandy. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you very much.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
So we are... studying Parashat Vayera from the Zohar Sulam commentary. We're in section 20, and we're at Pasuk 252, and we'll start with the Lashem Michud. Lashem Michud, Kuchabarichu, Ishkintai, Bidhilu, Urchimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urchimu. Liakta, Lashem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, Beyehuda, Shalim, Beshem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah, Mitzvah. La Soktor Amitva, Vaihino Amadunaya Lahino Elena Masaya Deno Kanane Elena Masaya Deno Kanane. Maketi Patreya Kiki Veha Shamain Uksi Lehem Wigomer Dahamin Shamaya Amter Alehon. I shall avar lone mean alma luatar makiti o kirinosh mipad ligomer mipaz ligomer da avraham tikucha berichu sale lea al kol bene alma. Translation. After this it is written, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof. Because it was from the heavens that he rained fire down on them and wiped them out of the world. Then it is written, I will make men more rare than fine gold. This is Abraham, whom the Holy One, blessed be he, raised up and cherished more than any other person in the world. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written. The word being translated as men is Enosh. The generation of Enosh began idol worship. Abraham is identified as a member of the astrologers in the Talmud. The true knowledge of the astrology is very rare. Even more rare than fine gold in our current generation. As the prophecy foretells, it is another indication that Mashiach is near, perhaps even today. This is my opinion. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Okay, I have a question.
Go ahead, Brandy.
Was Abraham in the time of Enosh?
No.
No, okay, Enosh, he was asked.
Let me give you this sequence.
Okay.
Seth is the first generation after Cain and Abel.
Okay.
His son is Enosh. So Enosha's, it is said that in the generation of Enosh, people started to worship the sun and the moon and the stars. Enosh is part of the first 10 generations. And in those generations, each individual human being was capable of correcting everything all by themselves. Then there were 10 generations from Noah to the Tower of Babel. And Abraham lived in the tower at the time of the Tower of Babel. In that those 10 generations, it required a family unit to make the correction for everything. But within each family, they were capable of achieving the final tikkun within the family unit. From Abraham to Moses was the building of the generation, building of the nation. And that was 6 generations, representing Zerampin. Then from Moses on, the tikkun is created and achieved by the children of Israel. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed in the time of Abraham. Which was essentially the 21st generation after Adam.
Okay. So is the astrology that Abraham knew in the Talmud the same Jewish astrology that we use today?
It is believed so.
Clarification. So that what he was using, wasn't it Chaldean compared to today? That is called modern or whatever?
The word Chaldean is actually, many times it's translated as astrologer.
Ah.
So Kabbalah essentially teaches that Abraham was the first astrologer. But it wasn't obviously the first astrologer because he learned it from something or someone. And the Chaldeans are referred to in the book of Daniel and other parts of the Bible, but this is much after Abraham. So Abraham is considered the first Chaldean, which is the first astrologer. And you get a lot of that from the verse in Lech Lecha, where it says that, maybe it's not Lech Lecha, it may be in our current Parasha of Vayera. But essentially it was Abraham who was told to go out of the tent and not to read the stars, that Abraham, as the first astrologer, had determined that he would never have children. And he was told to go out of the tent and not to pay attention to the astrologer, because he could change, and that change was indicated by the adding of the hay to his name. So we learn from all of that astrology and names are tools to utilize to learn what an individual's tikkun is. And that everything in the astrology can be changed. It is very difficult to change it because you have to become a totally different person. And that's what happens when you do the complete and full teshuvah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There's a lot in what I've just expressed. There's a lot of understanding that takes time to contemplate. And Brandy,
yeah,
I may have confused you a little bit because I said that the same astrology that you're using today is called Western astrology. Or there's another pattern called Vedic astrology. All of those follow the historical and traditional Hebrew astrology that Abraham started. But there is a every year there is a change in the skies. And that change is approximately 1 degree. So at the time of Moses, there was a transition from an epoch. The epoch is about a couple of thousand years long. And that transition was to go from the Taurus to the Pisces. Because it's moving, this transition of the stars is considered that it's moving backwards in the zodiac. And then there was, you've all heard that we're entering the age of Aquarius. That's an epoch. So called the age of Aquarius is an epoch of Aquarius.
Yes.
And so that transition of the stars, which is approximately 1 degree for every year, changes the way the constellations appear from the Earth. And what Abraham was using was a house system, which is approximately 30 degrees for every house. Whereas today, the house system would be, some of the constellations are as large as 38 degrees and as small as 22 or 23 degrees. And today there is 13 astrological signs. So I confuse you by saying, yes, it's the same. It is the same as what Western astrology does and what the normal Vedic astrology does. But there is a updated system called sidereal astrology. And then within that sidereal astrology, there's something called true sidereal astrology, which is what I've explained about the differences in the degrees of the houses associated with the astrological signs. And again, that's just a lot of information that has to be absorbed and contemplated. And I believe I interrupted Lizette.
I'm sorry, I was talking to myself and I had muted myself. No, I forgot. I was listening to you intently, so I lost what it was. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No problem at all.
I
do want to say that I do find that interesting because I have an app on my phone, and I go outside and I look according to that app, and I see the moon in not in Pisces as they're talking about. And so I'm like, why are they saying it's in Pisces when it's not there? In fact, real astrology teaches that it's not really in that sign. So, because I guess each one of the constellations has a larger or less degrees than the 30 degrees. And it's kind of confusing.
Well, I don't know the range of the degrees. I don't know it accurately from memory. But I think Pisces is a large... It's more than 30 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Taurus, well, the smallest ones are basically Scorpio, the 13th one, which is between Scorpio and Sagittarius.
Capricorn?
So I always forget the name of it. It's... Say it again.
Scorpio Capricorn?
No, it's the name of the 13th sign is it always escapes me. It starts with an O. But those three basically are the same size as the two systems of Scorpio and Sagittarius in the system of 30 degrees for each astrology sign.
I got
so
it.
Those three are usually roughly 60 degrees, but again, it's not totally accurate.
So it's
Ophicius,
if I'm pronouncing correct.
Ophicus is the name of the sign.
Mm-hmm. And where would then that be? Would that be between Pisces and Aries, or you're saying between Sagittarius and Scorpio?
Ophicus is between Sagittarius. It's between Scorpio and Sagittarius.
Okay.
And all of this you can look up on the
Libra. I said actually they have, pardon me, it has Libra and Ophicius, but it has a tiny little Scorpio. So Libra, Scorpio, Ophicius, Sagittarius, and then Capricorn. Weird.
I'm not sure which one you're looking at. My understanding is Ophicus is between Scorpio and Sagittarius. But there are different systems.
Yeah, I see it. It's just that they've made Scorpio, according to this chart I'm looking at, very, very small. So, yes, it's like they've shrunk Scorpio, and then they put Ophicus and then Sagittarius. You're correct.
Scorpio is essentially they took a lot of the space of Scorpio and gave it to Ophicus.
Well, that just verifies I always feel small every day, and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
Well, Randy, you were never small because Hashem created you. And that applies to each and every human being.
Right.
By the same token, your ego is what's small. But we think it's large. And that's problem of our perceptions about ourselves.
Well, I'm working on that, and it keeps getting smaller every day.
Baruch Hashem. But politely, it's better to stop lying to yourself.
Right.
And that's the paradox, how we perceive ourselves. Because we're the whole, to ourselves, we are the whole universe. And the only problem in the world is Hashem created other people.
And where would we be without that diversity?
Exactly. But getting back to the verse itself, I will make men more than fine gold. And the verse is telling us that's Abraham, but consider what is the meaning of fine gold? Why didn't it just say gold? I will make men more rare than gold. What is the meaning of fine gold? We don't know the Aramaic that's being translated as fine gold, but that's a very significant code word. Now, the word gold, we have a deep understanding of its meaning, because gold represents the left column. And fine gold, I'm realizing what it, I don't know the Aramaic even, but fine gold represents the right column of the left column. The tendency to share, the desire to receive in order to share, the code word is fine gold. I will make men more rare than fine gold. I will make men have a desire to share. And that's Abraham, who taught us the essence of chesed. And what's important is to realize when you read the English translations and you get a sense of what the words mean, you really don't until you apply them to the tree of life. Because it's your understanding of the code words and where they fit on the tree of life. And understand that the tree of life is a dynamic process, meaning it's a moving process. All the sephirot move relative to each other. Sometimes they cover each other. Sometimes they go behind each other. They're all moving and connecting to each other in different ways. And that is the wonder of the tree of life. And that's why Rabbi Ashlag tells us, don't look at that glyph, because the glyph is two dimension. And so you start to focus on, oh, I know what Malchut is, or I know what Chesed is. But each of them have many code words associated with them. And sometimes those code words are related to time. Certain seasons, certain aspects, certain months. So you have to be very careful in thinking you understand what's being said. And a good example is this verse that says, I will make men more rare than fine gold. Because how can you think that gold relates to a desire to receive. But if we were speaking in the language of branches, which the Zohar does, the word gold is clear because of the color. It's a yellow color. And the yellow color you would think it's actually a reddish yellow. And that reddish tinge is why the Kabbalists call it a desire to receive and connect it to the left column. The same thing applies when you use the name of an animal. When you use the name of an animal, what are the attributes of the animal? And by understanding and studying all the different capabilities and attributes of each animal, then when you see that animal used as a metaphor in the Torah, you have to bring all of those different aspects. But in our generation, how many people are connected to the science understanding the attributes of a given animal? A perfect example of that is the word Asher, or Asher, that is the name of a tribe, but it's also, that has been translated the last few hundred years as the eagle. But there is no eagle who lives in Israel. During biblical times, there was no eagle, no bird that was close to it. So what bird was it talking about? So today, some of the modern, I don't know if you call them biologists, probably. The modern biologists are saying that the word Nesher, it's not Asher, it's Nesher. Nun Shin Resh. The word Nesher is standing for a particular species of vulture. Well, there's a big difference in consciousness between an eagle, which is a bird of prey, and a vulture, which is a bird of dead prey.
Yeah, because the eagle is a hunter, and the vulture is a scavenger. He's a cleaner upper.
Correct.
So they both perform functions because eagles thin out different animal groups, which help them thrive. So he promotes them. Go ahead.
I have to thank you because you just gave me an insight that I had never understood or never considered. Because the Nesher, the vulture, if it is that a correct translation of Nesher, but Nesher represents the central column. And the central column is balancing between the right and the left. And when you describe the vulture as the scavenger and the cleaning up, that's essentially what the central column does. It unifies through the process of cleansing. It unifies through the process of balancing. And I had never considered the central column as the cleansing aspect. I thank you for that.
Well, thank you. You drew it out.
We are out of time, so I appreciate this class very much.
I do.
Are there any quick questions, or you just need a lot of time to process what you've heard?
I do.
I do. I've been so busy the last few days. And it's so lovely to just be able to quiet my mind and listen. That's it.
I understood because I've studied astrology. So it gave me a lot of insight.
Very good. One of these days I will explain my perception of astrology that it's just intuition, but I've never really had the time to work it the way it needs to be worked. But that's for another day.
You both
have a beautiful evening.
You have a class tomorrow at 9?
Yes, we'll have Do Sleep Out tomorrow.
Okay.
Erev Tov.
Erev Tov. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Okay.